Coming up in this video, you will discover why Jonah is really about God's scandalous mercy, how the story of Noah goes far beyond animals on a boat, and why the prodigal son has two lost sons instead of one. Let's jump right in. Number 1. Jonah and the Great Fish. What many of us learned in Sunday school is that Jonah was swallowed by a whale because he disobeyed God. But here's what you might not have realized. The Hebrew text never actually says whale. It says a great fish in Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. The real focus is not the fish at all, but Jonah's rebellion and God's compassion for Nineveh, which was a hated foreign enemy at the time. This story is far more about the scandal of God's grace. In Jonah chapter 4, we see that Jonah was actually angry because God forgave the Assyrians, the very people Jonah wanted God to destroy. In other words, Jonah wanted justice, but God gave mercy. God used Jonah's worst moment to reveal just how wide his grace can reach. Number 2. Noah's Ark. In Sunday school, many of us heard that Noah built a happy little boat and saved animals two by two from a giant flood. But there is so much more going on here. In Genesis chapter 6 through 9, this story is incredibly dark, describing God's judgment on a violent and corrupt world. In Hebrew thinking, the flood represents a sort of decreation, as God undoes the world's chaos and restarts creation. And did you know there were actually 7 pairs of clean animals, not just 2? That is found in Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. Even more importantly, this story shows God's heartbreak over human sin, but then his faithful promise never to destroy the earth that way again. The rainbow in Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 17 is a covenant of mercy, reminding us that even through judgment, God intends redemption. The ark is not a children's boat, but a powerful sign of God's grief over evil and his unstoppable faithfulness. Number 3. Adam and Eve. Most of us grew up learning that Adam and Eve ate an apple because a snake told them to. But if you look carefully, Genesis chapter 3 never mentions an apple at all, only fruit. In the ancient Near Eastern culture, the serpent symbolized chaos, death, and rival spiritual powers trying to twist God's creation. What is really going on here is humanity grasping for moral autonomy, wanting to define good and evil for themselves, as you see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. It is about rejecting God's rule over what is right and wrong, which brings tragic consequences to the whole world. It is not about a snack, but about the beginning of humanity's rebellion to be our own gods. Number 4. David and Goliath. In Sunday school, you probably learned that David was a brave little boy who took down a giant with God's help. But the story is much deeper than that. David was most likely a young adult, as you see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Goliath was not just any giant, but a champion of military might representing the terrifying power of the Philistines. David's courage was not simply about being brave, but about trusting God's covenant promises. David was outraged that Goliath had insulted God's name, which is why he stood up to fight in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. This is not a children's tale about slingshots, but a battle showing how God's purposes can triumph even against impossible odds. Number 5. The Prodigal Son. In Sunday school, you likely heard the story of a rebellious son who wasted his inheritance and then returned home to be forgiven. But if you read carefully in Luke chapter 15, you will see it is aimed at religious leaders, starting with verses 1 through 3. The older brother represents those same leaders who resented God's grace toward outcasts and sinners. Jesus is showing that both brothers were lost. One was lost through reckless living, the other through prideful self-righteousness. The father's welcome reveals God's radical joy over restoring the lost, and it also challenges the proud to share in that joy. The prodigal son story is not about one lost son, but two lost sons, and the outrageous mercy of the father who welcomes both. Number 6. Samson and Delilah. In Sunday school, you may have been taught that Samson was a strong hero who fell for a wicked woman named Delilah. But look deeper. Judges chapters 13 through 16 reveal that Samson was impulsive, violent, and broke many Nazirite vows. For example, in Judges chapter 14, verses 8 through 9, he touches a dead lion, violating his vows. Delilah was not just a temptress, but a paid operative working for the Philistine leaders, as you see in Judges chapter 16, verse 5. Samson's downfall came from his own unfaithfulness to God. His final act of destroying the Philistine temple was a desperate prayer for one last burst of God's strength, as told in Judges chapter 16, verses 28 through 30. Samson's story is not a hero's victory, but a tragic warning about wasting God's gifts through compromise. Number 7. Daniel in the Lion's Den. Sunday school often paints Daniel as a young boy courageously praying and being saved from hungry lions. But actually, Daniel was likely an elderly man at this time, based on the timeline of Daniel chapter 6. The focus is not really on shutting the lions' mouths, but on Daniel's loyalty to God, even under the threat of death in a pagan society. Daniel's story is about faithfulness, no matter your age or situation, and God's power to vindicate those who remain faithful. Daniel's courage shows that even in your final years, you can stand strong for God and see Him honor your faith. Number 8. The Tower of Babel. In Sunday school, you might have heard that God was simply angry. People built a tall tower, so He scrambled their languages. But Genesis chapter 11 tells us the tower builders wanted to make a name for themselves and refused God's command to fill the earth, which was first given in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. The tower, likely a ziggurat, symbolized human pride and collective rebellion. By scattering the people, God actually protected them from uniting against Him in total idolatry. Babel is not just about languages, but about God rescuing humanity from the destructive path of its own pride. Number 9. Moses parting the Red Sea. Most of us learned that Moses raised his staff, the waters parted, and Israel walked through to freedom. But the Exodus account in chapters 14 and 15 is even richer. God is shown as a divine warrior conquering Pharaoh's entire worldview, not just an Egyptian army. The sea represents chaos in the ancient Near East, so God's action demonstrates He rules over chaos itself. The crossing of the sea echoes creation language, making Israel a new people rescued from death into life. The Red Sea is not merely an escape route, but a cosmic victory over the forces of evil. Number 10. Jesus and the Nativity. Sunday school taught us that Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, could not find a hotel, so Jesus was born in a wooden stable. But Luke chapter 2 says there was no room in the guest room, which in first century homes means they were likely staying with relatives who had no extra space, forcing them to use the lower level animal area built into many family houses. Also, the wise men did not show up the night of Jesus' birth, but likely came months or even 2 years later, as you see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. The nativity is not about a rustic wooden stable, but about God entering a shame-filled world through an ordinary family in a very human, humble place. So, you see, these 10 Bible stories, simplified in Sunday school, actually carry layers of beauty, depth, and profound meaning. When we look closer, they help us see God's character more clearly. A God who judges evil, forgives the lost, and welcomes even the proudest heart back home. As always, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.